Okay, so the title of today's shir is for Parshas Vayechi, but the title of today's shir is Yosef's Temptation, Hanging On by Your Fingernails. And we'll see that that there's midrashim about this experience that Yosef had. But let's go to the bracha first, in the bracha that Yaakov is giving Yosef. There's a... he speaks about his military prowess and his overcoming his brother's hatred. There's a pasuk here that has a midrashic meaning that's different than the pasuk pshat. So in Perek Mem Tes, Pasuk Chav Dalet, the pasuk says, Vateshav be'eson kashto, and his bow, as in like a bow and an arrow, you know, his bow was strongly established by a fozes rayada mide avir Yaakov, and his hands were gilded. It means like, you know, they put gold jewelry on them because he was a ruler. Misham ro evan Yisrael. And from here, from this thing, he became like a rock, a shepherd for the Jews. Pashup Shad is that, you know, he led the Jewish people. He kept his brothers safe and fed the family, and that's the Pashup Shat. Now the Gemara though in Sota has a very interesting take on the phrase Vatesha Ve'eson Kashto. So the word Keshes, the word bow, can also be an allusion for being motzi zera, because a zera is yora kechetz. According to the Gemara, a person is only fertile if the zera is powerful enough that it's yora kechetz, that it shoots out like an arrow. So they see in this a very interesting detail to the story about Yosef and Eishes Potiphar that is not there in the Psukim, but in the Medrash. So here's how it starts. The Gemara in Sota, Lamed Vav Amud Beis, if anybody wants to look it up later. Amar Shimon Chasida, Yosef Shekidah Shem Shemayim B'Seser, Yosef, who was Makadah Shem Shemayim in hiding, meaning it wasn't a public Kiddush Hashem, because nobody really knew that he resisted, nobody knew that he passed the Nisayon, it was really between himself and nobody, but it's still a Kiddush Shem Shemayim nonetheless. That's why they added on a letter into his name, like Edus Behosef Shemo. And I believe also on the Urim V'Tumim, when it writes Yosef's name, because all the 12 Shvatim are on the Urim V'Tumim, it's written Yehosef. So the extra hey comes because in some way Yosef was Mekad Hashem Shemayim. So Gemara wants to know, what did he do? So it says as follows, Yosef Mahi. So what is it that Yosef did? Tichsiv. Because it says in the Pasuk, Vayhi Kayom Hazeh, and it was on that day. What was that day? We'll find out. But it was on that day. Vayavo Habaisa, he came to the house. This is Potiphar's house. Laosos Malachto, to do his work. Samrav Yochanan, so Rav Yochanan says, we see from here that actually they planned this. That this was a tryst that Eishes Potiphar and Yosef had planned. And that's why, presumably, when it came to that day, you know, the day that everything, all the pieces were in order and all their plans that they were able to plot out. So Yosef was ready to commit an avera at that point. Then we have, even further, it says, Vayovo Abaisa Lasus Malachto, he came to his house to do his work. So what's the work over here? Rav Shmuel, Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, Chad Omer Lasus Malachto Mamish. Some say he came to do work. He had work to do. Right? Chad Omer Lasus Tzrachov Nichnas. He came to take care of his bodily functions. In other words, again, this was, according to this pshat, there was every intention at that moment. Yosef is finally, after days, weeks, months, I don't know how long, of Eishes Potiphar trying to seduce him, he finally lost his ability to withstand the Nisayon, and he had every intention of committing an Avera with her, married woman. So there's more here to the story. Then it says, Vein ish me'anshei habayis. There was nobody from the house in the house. So basically, he was alone with Eishes Potiphar. But the Gemara comments, that's a little strange. How can nobody be there? This is a, this is like a giant plantation home with 30 rooms and servants. Where's everybody that Yosef and the wife of Potiphar could be by themselves? Where'd they go? Where'd everybody go? So the Gemara says, Efsher, Bais, Gobel, Kabesa, Shalosa, Russia. This big house, Lo Hayabo Ish, there's nobody there. Tanda Be Rishmo, Osu Hayom Yom Chagam Hoya. It was a holiday that day. And they all went to worship by their idolatrous places. And she said, Cholahi, she said, I'm sick. So she played hooky, and she was able to stay. So she played hooky, she was able to stay home. Yosef also, he doesn't go to these holidays. They knew he was an Ivri. They knew he didn't follow these practices. So they had their chance now over any other time. And that's what it says. It says that he amra, she said, Ein li yom shenizkak li Yosef kayom hazeh. There'll be no day like today to have this chance. And that's why it means, again, the pasuk says, Vayhi kayom hazeh, was on that day. That day they planned out, that day of the holiday, that she would play hooky. And she was home and he was home. And so things begin to happen. However, the next moment, Ba'osa Shah, at that time, Ba'osa Dyuknesh Shal Aviv, the appearance of his father, came to Yosef, Maniris Lo B'chalon, and it appeared to him in the window. Somehow, looking out the window, he was inspired, and he had a vision of his father. Omer Lo, he said to him, Yosef, Asidun Achecha Shiyachtiv Wal Avnei Ephod, your brothers are going to be written on the stones of the Ephod, Ba'ato B'nehem, and you're going to be there too. Do you want that your name should be erased? So at that moment, Yosef had an inspiration, a vision of his father, his father's voice coming to him, reminding him of his holy standing, of his special role. And even though he had planned and was really ready to commit the act, at the last minute, he was able to overcome his temptation. So, and what does it say? That's miyad v'teisha b'eis an kashto. He stayed in the strength of his bow, like he was a warrior. He was able to hold on. You know, imagine you have your finger on the trigger, and you're about to shoot the arrow, and you just hold back. He was able to hold back. Then something interesting happens. The next words in the pasuk v'yifozu zroa yodav, which literally means the pasuk had his hands. The Pashup Shot is his hands were covered with, were gilded with gold and jewelry. It means, according to the Medrash, Noatz Yoda Bakarka, he dug his hands into the ground. The Yotza Shechva Zaro Mibain Tziporniv, Mitziporni Yodav, and the Zera came out between his fingernails, which I'm really not sure what that idiom means. There's a similar idiom in Yaradea when it talks about if one is in the middle of relations and it turns out that his wife becomes a nida, the Gemara advises, Shulchan Aruch advises that you have to be, no, it's Yodav the Ragel of Bakarka, you have to stick your hands and feet in the ground and hold yourself up so that you don't move, and then you wait until there's no more Kisha Ever. That's the only thing that's even close to that. I don't really know what they mean about the Zera coming out between his fingernails, but the bottom line is, whatever the idiom means exactly, Yosef was able to resist to a degree, but he was Motzi Zera, because later on, the Gemara says that really all the 12 Shvatim could have come out of Yosef, but because he was Motzi Zera, so actually he wasn't Zocha to that. It's very complicated. A lot of things going on over here. But the fascinating part about this is that we understand that Yosef was in a situation of what people in recovery call halt. Halt is Rosh Tevis, I'm sure many of you know this, for hungry, angry, lonely, tired, right? That Yosef was away from home. He didn't have a friend in the world. He was, it says, Ki nishani Elokim be'eretz ani, he suffered. He suffered in Mitzrayim. And here was this very eligible woman who was very interested in him, and he was extremely vulnerable. So his state of mind, right, at that moment, he was ready to commit the act. His state of mind, he already was there. The fact that he didn't commit the act is another story. It's a great gura. But he already had fallen. There's a saying, right, that you don't lose your sobriety at the time. As an alcoholic, they lose their sobriety when they drink. Drinking is just a symptom. They lost their sobriety hours, days, weeks before, because the mental cognition, whatever beliefs and assumptions the person has already started to change and become crooked to the point that they could contemplate doing something wrong. But Yosef is hungry, angry, lonely, tired, and he's ready to commit this act. It also, right, the Gemara in Sota on Daf Gimel, right? A Sota says, Ishki Sista Ishto, a man whose wife strays, becomes crooked. But the drash is, Shonu Rabba Seinu, people don't commit adultery unless a certain crazy thought comes into their head. In other words, the mental distortions happen before the avera happens. People think, "Oh, I had a taiva," and then they do it. So they don't realize that already, like I said, hours, days, weeks before, something already happens in the person's head and heart, that they're starting to tell themselves some kind of story. They're starting to tell themselves some kind of narrative that's going to allow them to believe that what they're doing is okay, that they need this, that they have to have this, they won't be happy unless they have this, it's coming to me, whatever it is. And Yosef was in that same place. I mean, we couldn't say this if Chazal didn't say it, but Chazal said it in black and white, that Yosef had planned at the act. He was very intent on doing it. It's only the last minute, to his great credit, that's why he's called Yosef HaTzadik. At the last minute, his father appeared to him in a vision, and he was able to realize how important he was and how destructive this would be for him to do this, that would affect his future. But the point is that he was in that state. Now, the interesting Beis Shmuel, that's also similar to the story of Yosef. It's something that, on the one hand, I hesitate to say it over, because it could be misused, but on the other hand, I think that it's up to people how to use the Torah they learn. They have to understand it. It's Torah, and it's meant to be understood. So the Beis Shmuel and Ebenezer in Siman Chaf Gimel, Sif Aleph, which also, it's really based on a Sefer Chassidim, which he discusses, that's where he discusses the Isser being Motzi Zera, and he says a very strange thing. It's based on Sefer Chassidim, and I think the Sefer Chassidim is really based on this medrash about Yosef, because it's hard to believe that Sefer Chassidim could say this too without having some kind of precedent. But basically, the gist of it is, and you can look it up yourself, again, it's Ebenezer, Siman Chaf Gimel, that if a person feels that they're going to commit an avera of adultery or be baal anida, then it's preferable to be motzi zera. He adds, interestingly enough, that afterwards they have to do tshuva samishkol. And in the times of the Rishonim today, it's not something that people do usually. There's tshuva of Nod Vihud about this, that it's difficult for people to do today. They should instead just give a lot of tzedakah or something. But in the time of the Rishonim, they had a thing called tshuva samishkol, which is that they had a formula for how much you had to suffer for every avera you did. So Sefer Chassidim says that if you did this, while technically it was the correct thing to do at the moment because it saved you from an avera, not completely unlike the story here with Yosef, where he was motzi zera, although in the story of Yosef it's not clear if he was motzi zera intentionally or unintentionally. It sounds more like from the story that it just happened in his effort to resist. Hard to know. But it says you still have to fast for 40 days afterwards. So you still have to get a kapara for which you did. but it's a fascinating Beis Shmuel. And the reason why, of course, I hesitate to say it over is because it could be used as a rationale for not maintaining sobriety. But it also really is important to understand that averas are our relationship with averas are very complicated, and that we have to do everything that we can and understand that there are not always perfect situations, but we have to keep struggling. And part of the struggle is to understand, I think, and this is what Chazal were driving at when they said Vayovo Yosef Lasos Vayovo Baisa Lasos Malachtoi, that they understand that the avera is only the last act, but before the avera comes many, many distorted types of thinking and ruach shtus that comes into the person that leads them down the road to the avera. Yosef, this was premeditated. Yosef talked himself into going into the house with Eishes Potiphar. So the true value of this is not the last minute to rationalize doing what Yosef said or to rationalize what the Beis Shmuel says one could do if they're in such a great nisayon that they can't withstand it. The real value is understanding that you'll be in a makom nisayon if you don't catch your thinking way before that, and that's the challenge of life, to constantly monitor one's mental state and maintain the right kind of correct thinking and not distorted thinking that leads you down the path away from sobriety. Okay, any comments, questions, thoughts? Well then, I wish everybody a good Shabbos. Everybody should take care. Be well.